The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you want to give me a call on this, April 13th, 2023, if you want to call me. Hey, I'll take your call. So last night, I was on Clubhouse for 3.5 hours. We talked a lot about Catholicism. Oh, man. That was interesting. And let's just say I have... I have no faith in the Catholic Church. I know what it teaches. I know what it teaches down deep. And I know what the Scriptures teach. And, I'll just say this. All who believe official Roman Catholic theology are on their way to hell. And that's just not me, you know, being mean or narrow-minded. If you want to challenge me, you want to call me up, you want to talk about it, please do. And we can talk, and I can get through that, and we can and give you a rational reason why. It's not just, I wasn't a member of the church and got upset with them. It's not vengeance. It is an examination, like I do of all things, the examination of the truth of God's Word. It's like to check on what God's Word says. It is the final authority and standard of all truth. Not me, not you, and not some church. I just don't believe in this churchianity stuff, ecclesiology, where people serve and worship the church, and it's just idolatry. Okay, having said all of that, I'm looking at a different thing. I'm going to place some lighting here a little bit on the show. If you want to watch the show, you can go to carm.org, carm.org, and on the homepage, you'll see Matt Slick Live, and you can just go over there, and you can check it out, and let's see if that works. And you can click on the links, and you can go to our respective YouTube channel, which we'll only have on for 10 minutes, and then we move over to Rumble, and we're doing that for the purposes of freedom. So if you like that, good. We haven't abandoned YouTube completely. We still have a lot of people on the Carm org YouTube channel, and I'll be putting some stuff up there. But hey, all right, so there's that. What else? What else is there? It's going to talk about something. I can't remember what it is. That's okay. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just get on the phones here with Mike from North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I'm wondering if you know how all of this insanity, or what the origins are of this stuff involving LGBTQ, trans, especially the transgender stuff, involving even children. You know, you mentioned once before that it was demonic, and it is.
Yes, it is.
It is very demonic.
Yeah, it is. But
I'm wondering if you know what the human origins of it is.
Well,
or if any Christians know.
I don't know. That's a good question. Any human origins, because I would look at the Bible as the source of that. We know that very early on, sexual perversions were rampant. We have the teaching in Genesis 6 of the Nephilim, the offspring between the fallen angels and women. And I believe in that. I do. I affirm it. And Genesis 6 talks about that.
Okay, but yes. Here in the United States, what we need to know is to know who Arthur Kinsey. Are you familiar with that name, Arthur Kinsey?
No.
The Kinsey Report.
No.
In the late 1940s, early 1950s, and another guy by the name of John Money. Okay, well, these two men.
Okay, so what do you? Yeah. Okay.
These two men were the most perverted human beings on the planet.
Once you send me information about that, wait. We have children that are listening, and so I like to guard.
Yeah, I'm not going to go. Believe me, I'm not going to go into any kind of detail on that. Yes, I do know that. Okay. But other Christians that are out there, just look it up and look up their research. And there was a woman who really blasted this guy out and finally let the world know just how sick these people were. but
they are. It's a social perversion. So if you send me the information, I'm interested. And the reason I'm interested is because I'm actually looking at an article which I'm developing on transgender stuff, sexual orientation stuff. And what I'm doing is laying the foundation down for a video. And I'm going to let this video out, and it's, you know, YouTube will ban me for it. But I'm going to go through and ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. Kenzie's goal in all this was, by the way, was to get rid of Christian morals in America. He wanted to completely annihilate. And, by the way, his center is still alive and well, and it's at John Hopkins. And they're the ones that originated the surgery, even on children.
Well, why don't you send me the information, seriously? Just and top and subject, put the subject line, you know, sexual orientation and information, you know, things like that, sexual, you know, whatever it is, sexual orientation is good. And put that in there, and then we can.
But we need to know what we're fighting. We need to know what we're fighting. Okay?
I agree. I would love to know about
all right,
it.
Man,
looks like you've already done some research on it, so I want to see it, okay?
Seriously. Yes, I have.
Good.
Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye. Yeah, ultimately, this is a demonic thing, and one of the reasons is because God made Adam and Eve, and he gave them a mandate to multiply and fill the earth. You can't do that in this transgender, homosexual, LGBT mob, alphabet mob mentality. And so the alphabet club, I'm going to start calling it the alphabet club, you know, it's there's a play on words there. They will bludgeon you if you don't agree to them. They will persecute you. So I call it the club. I don't know if that's called a double entendre. I don't know. But at any rate, the alphabet club is aggressive. This is ultimately an attack on the created order of God and on the very nature of truth that God has established. And so it is a high degree of assault. And since we as Christians stand up for the truth, they will come after us. I keep telling people this. They don't believe me. They're going to come into our churches. They're going to start passing laws or try and get them passed that preaching can't be against homosexuality, transgenderism, or orientation, and things like that. They're going to put people in the churches and watch and turn them in. They're going to have brown shirts everywhere. It's going to happen. And you guys don't think I'm serious, but I've been telling people this. This is going to happen. We need to fight against it. And you don't think it's going to happen? Then you're ignorant, because it is happening, and I already do know about spies that have been in various churches collecting information, and there's a lot of stuff that's happened that people don't know about. I could tell you a lot of stories, but anyway, I won't. So here's the thing. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I won't know you right back. Hey, we got Rudolph. Sorry, I'm just used to saying that in that order. Rudolph from North Carolina. Rudolph. Welcome, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Since God is the creator, why don't you believe he's outside of time?
Because I don't know what outside of time means. So I don't say he's outside of time. I don't know what that means.
Well, we inside of time because we have 8 days and nights, but God
Here's the thing.
Is eternal.
Here's the thing. You see, I don't know what it means to be outside of time. If someone were to say, write an exposition, an article on what it actually means to exist outside of time, how is that possible? How do you have existence without time involved? How can you say outside of time? Is time not everywhere? Is time located in the solar system and you can go outside the solar system and you're outside of time? I don't know what the phrase means. I can't interpret it. I can't tell you what it is. So I don't say God's outside of time because I don't know what it means. Okay?
Okay.
What I will say is he relates to time differently than we do. That's what I'll say. He's different than we are in time. He's not limited to it the way we are. And that's what I say. Don't say he's outside of time, because I don't know if that's true. I don't even know if I can define what outside of time is to be able to say if it's true or not. Okay? That makes sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. And before I go, I will call you back next week because I have another question to have towards you in space. Because I know you believe in that, but it's not true. I will
believe in what?
God bless you.
Wait. But I believe in what? But it's not true. Well, I didn't understand the one word.
You believe in space, but it's I don't believe
in space. In space, out in the universe. Wait, I don't understand the word.
You believe in space, but
S P A C E, like where the galaxies are, right out there.
Yes, you believe in the vacuum of space, space travel, and all that, because you talk about the Big Bang and whatnot and that kind of stuff. So, and this universe is expanding and all that, but I don't. And I have a question for you that I need to ask you.
Well, now I'm curious. You see, we got nobody waiting right now. So you say you don't, or do you believe that galaxies and stars exist out there?
No, they exist in the firmament, but
Are you a flat earther? You hold to the flat earth?
Of course I am, but I'm a flat planer. But I will say,
I can prove it's false.
I know you can, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
Wait a second. Wait. You hear what you just said? I said, I can prove it's false, and you said, I know you can, and that you don't want to hear it, and you're going to still believe, which means you know there's a proof against it.
Go ahead.
You're not being logical. I don't get it.
No, okay. I'm listening.
You believe that the Earth is flat and there's a dome over the Earth? Is that what you believe?
I believe that we live in a closed system.
Okay, but I didn't ask that. I asked, do you believe the Earth is flat and there's a dome over it?
I think it's something like that because the firmament is above us. So
okay, I got you. I got you. I'm just asking one thing. I'm not asking for an explanation. I'm asking for what you believe. So do you believe the Earth is flat, circular, and that there's a dome of some sort over it?
Yeah, I believe we're in a flat plane. Yes, I do.
So you believe there's a dome over it. Okay. So is the dome... Okay. All right. So there's a problem with it, a huge problem with it, and I can prove that it doesn't work. It's really simple. Okay? Are you ready? Want me to show you? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So by analogy, just picture a table that's round. Let's just say it's 1 meter across, and there's a dome over it, and the dome is approximately two feet high. Okay? Roughly. Okay? Roughly. You got me? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
and
sir.
Either in the dome or underneath the top part is the sun and the moon, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That means then that in this dome, when you're on one side and a person's on the other side and they look at the moon, then they should see different sides of the moon because if the moon's round, they should see different sides of it because they're different perspectives, right? Are you with me?
Yes. Okay. If we're on a globe.
But if they don't see different sides. Look, I was just in Israel on the other side of the world, and the moon's the same. Okay? It's the same view. Now, we'll get back after the break, and please tell me what your view is to explain that, and I'll tackle that one. Hey folks, 4 open lines, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to call me, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Rudolph. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, now, since we see the same side of the moon from different angles in that model, it means that that model is incorrect. So how do you answer that?
Because the moon doesn't rotate and everybody sees it from the same place.
Is the moon flat or is the moon a sphere?
No, it's round. We see the sun and moon.
I didn't ask it's round. I didn't ask it's round. I said, is it flat or is it a sphere?
It looks like it's sphere, but I couldn't tell you because I've never been to the moon, so it looks round. So
it's either the case that it's a sphere or it's not the case that it's a sphere. That's all. Which one is it? Sphere or not a sphere? What would you go with?
I don't know.
Let's work with either one.
I don't know.
If it's a sphere, then you'll see different sides of the moon from different places on the Earth.
You should, yes, sir.
Hold on. If it's a sphere, you will see different sides from different parts of the Earth. But since you don't see different sides from different parts of the Earth, then that model is false. Simple. If you say that this it's not a sphere and it's somehow a round disk, well, then why are there eclipses? Why are there eclipses on the moon that is up in the sky next to the sun? Can you explain that one?
I learned about how an eclipse, it has to do with the position of the sun and the earth and the moon. That's how you have eclipses, but I forgot what the guy told me that time because it was a while ago.
I've actually watched videos of people defending flat earth stuff, and I'm not some great physicist, but even I can figure out that these guys don't know what they're doing and they don't understand the basics of physics, and they don't understand trigonometry, they don't understand the parallax effect, they don't understand the idea of perspective. If the dome is the case, then we would and we see the same different sides for different parts of the Earth, then it necessitates that the height of the sphere relative to the Earth is extremely high in order for the virtual effect of the identical appearance from any place over the Earth. So if you have this dome and you have a sphere that's 2 feet over this 3 foot wide sphere, I mean a flat table, that's the Earth, and you will see in that perspective from different opposite sides of the flat Earth, you'll see different parts of this of the moon. But the higher up the moon goes, like 100 feet up in the air, then you'll see the same side because it has to do with perspective. You'll see like that, and so it then that. That falsifies the idea of the dome effect over the Earth. If you say that the Earth is, or that the moon is a flat disk, and that's why you see the same side from any angle, well, then how do you explain an eclipse where the shadow, apparently, of the Earth is upon the moon from the sun? But since the sun and the moon are up above the Earth and are not, and the Earth is not between them, how do you have a shadow? This is simple. I just refuted flat earth theory, refuted it. That is it. There shouldn't even be any more necessity of even considering it. It is done. It's put to rest. But people don't want to believe the facts. Okay?
Yes, sir. But, like I said, I can't explain to you what the shadow issue with the moon and the sun, but I'm going to say this before I go. This is the question I was going to ask you about space. Since you can't have thrust in a vacuum because there's no atmosphere, how
you
is
you can't have what
craft?
In a vacuum? You can't have what
you
in a
can't
vacuum?
Have thrust. You can't have thrust
yes, you can.
In a vacuum.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. You have to have. You can't produce thrust in a vacuum.
Yes, you can.
You have to have the atmosphere.
No, you don't. I'll explain. You don't need an atmosphere that the flame pushes against, because the flame itself has mass. And so the mass is being ejected out of the combustion chamber. So therefore, since the mass is accelerated, it produces an opposite force. Okay? And that's how it works. So that's it. To say, to this is
but
an example.
You can't make a flame. You can't make a flame in vacuum.
Yes, you can. You can make a plane fly in a vacuum. Would you let me finish and I'll explain it?
Yes, sir.
You can make a plane.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on. So I'll explain how this works, folks. You can make a plane fly in a vacuum. He didn't let me finish. How do you do that? You have a forward thrust and you have an upward thrust. That can be done through rockets, and you can then control its speed and angle. That's all it is. It's not that hard a deal to do physics-wise. And he didn't understand what I was going to say because he kept interrupting. But here's the thing. This is an example of the faulty understanding. And I like Rudolph. You know, I hope he calls back. But this is an example of the faulty understanding of basic physics that a lot of these flat earthers have. They make the mistake of assuming that the flame has to push against something in order for thrust to occur. That is not the case. The flame itself has mass because the propellant is changed into an energy that is projected out at a certain angle at a very high velocity. And because it is, there is an opposite, an equal reaction in the opposite direction. That's how thrust is produced. You don't need an atmosphere to push on it because the flame itself does have mass. It has energy, it has heat, and it has acceleration as it begins from a stop to an accelerated rate, and a certain velocity occurs very quickly, and therefore there's a mass and momentum that exchange that goes in. That's all that it is. You know, I'm going to tell you, I had physics in high school, and there were 2,000 students in the class, and they actually invented, this is for real, the teachers got together and invented a class of physics, advanced, it was college-level physics, and they only asked about 20 students in the entire 2,000 student body, and they asked me, you want to be in the class? I said, yes. And I loved it. And after I graduated and stuff, I love physics, I think. I love this stuff. I watch stuff like this. It's fun. And I went to Xerox. True story. Went to Xerox, and I was going to apply. I never got the job there. But I was going to apply for a job, and I had to take a test. The test was about an hour long, and it had to do with physics and basic laws of mechanics and things like this. And so I get in there, and I do the whole thing, and this one guy beat me by 10 seconds. And I turned my paper in, and they called me 2 weeks later, and they said, man, you passed. I said, man, that thing was easy. And they said, most people don't pass it, like 98% don't pass it, because they don't understand basic physics. And why? I'm not teaching much in schools anymore. Hey, there's the music. I'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we're at the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. A couple things I want to talk about really fast before we get to the next callers. Let's see. Lord willing, next year from now, right now, I think I'll be, Lord willing, if God by his grace still allows it, but we're going to be going on the Footsteps of Paul tour. And Eric Johnson, he's a great guy. He led the tour in Israel that I just got back from. I've known Eric for years. He's an awesome guy. And he's doing this tour too. And so, if you want to check it out, you can go to bridgepaultour.com. Bridgepaultour, and it's all one word, bridgepaultour.com. You can check it out. We'll get more information. And Eric should be on the air tomorrow on the radio show. We'll be talking about it. It's a 19-day trip. We're going to be going to, Turkey, which I've been there before. It was really interesting. And then we're going to go to Greece, which I've never been to before. And then we're going to go to Italy, which I've never been to before. And we're going to be going and checking things out. And in Turkey, you get to see the seven churches of Revelation, which is awesome. And the city of Ephesus. Oh, man. I still talk about Ephesus. I still talk about how awesome it was. It's not like, hey, look, look, there's a potsherd on the ground. That's Ephesus. Oh, no. It is a full-blown city, and you can walk down the main highway, walkway down, see buildings left and right. You go down to this big library, and then you go to the right, and you see the amphitheater. It's huge, where Paul was, and there's other stuff all over the place. You get to see it. It's great. It takes like 3-4 hours to go through. It is awesome. So anyway, if you're interested, Bridge Paul Tour, you can check that out. And Eric will be on tomorrow. Now, one more thing. We are rearranging some stuff on Rumble. And Ernie, he's a great guy who helps us out. He has spent some time making things more better. And so we know that a lot of people have followed us on Karm.org. And now what we're doing is we're having sub-channels, Matchlick Live Radio and then Matchlick Bible Study. And so if you want to follow those respective ones, that tells us a lot. We do need information, and yes, I know, but I already followed the Karm.org one. What do I do it again for? Because we're just asking. And it would be nice if you could do that. See? Hope they didn't imitate too many whining people too badly. All right, let's get to Chris from Ohio. Hey, Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, what is happening? It is great to speak with you. I have a sinus infection, so I might have to pull the phone away and cough and hack and blow up green and red stuff.
I'm getting over mine, so gotcha. It's all right.
But I knew of your site years ago, and I hadn't been to it for years, actually. And
Heretic.
A radio station out of Toledo, they set up a transponder closer to me, and that's how I hear you on the radio now. I'm not that big, and I like some podcasts, but sometimes I just like listening to a radio because I know other believers are listening, and I think there's that kind of fellowship in a way. So I'm just so thankful for this transponder that's near me.
Praise God. Well, good.
But that trip, that trip to Turkey and Ephesus, that sounds fantastic.
Yes. Well, you know, we just got back from Israel a month ago, and Eric does a mean tour. You see a lot of stuff. So what I'm going to do 2 weeks before the tour, I'm going to start walking because you do a lot of walking, 3 to 5 miles a day. And but it's great. It's great seeing it.
And when are the dates for that?
It is April 1st through the 19th of next year.
Okay, well, great.
1st through the 19th.
Okay, hey, well, great. Let's get moving on here. Mm-hmm. So I want to go first. You made a comment a couple of days ago about why you prefer the NASB. Yes. And was it Romans 5 or Romans 8? Because I was listening. I did not get the gist of your argument. Let me go over that right now.
Romans 5:18. Okay. And I'll go over it quickly.
And I have an NASB and ESV on my monitor right now. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's through one transgression. Okay, let's go through this then.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I like the NASB so much is because of that particular verse. Now, that may sound awfully, you know, are you kidding? You're judging a whole Bible by a single verse? Well, in part, yes. But the reason is because it taught me theology when I saw the verse that didn't make sense in English, because it was literally translating it from the Greek. And I'll explain what's going on. So look at Romans 5:18 as two sentences, sentence A and sentence B. Sentence A, through one transgression, it literally says condemnation. There is no verb in the Greek. So what it literally says is, so through one transgression, condemnation to all men. That's the literal Greek, okay? No verb, because there's no verb in the entire sentence. And then it says, even so, or in like manner, or just like that, okay? So it's referring back to that sentence. Through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. That's what it says in the Greek. So there's two sentences, A and B. Both mention an individual and then the result of their action. Through one transgression, condemnation to all. Through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all. You see the problem? Because justification means you're saved. But how can it be justification for all people? It doesn't make sense. So if that's the case, what happens is, the ESV toned it down, for example. and they'll put the verb lead, as through one transgression, they're led condemnation to all men. So also through one act of righteousness, it led to justification of life to all men. It doesn't mean it resulted. And that's the problem, because Adam's transgression absolutely resulted in our condemnation. It's a theological fact. And so what the mistake is of the translators in the other versions is that they let sentence B govern sentence A, instead of letting the Greek say what it says. And so we know that Adam's sin resulted in condemnation to all. We know the fact. Mm-hmm. So also, one act of righteousness, that's Jesus' sacrifice, it resulted in justification of life to all. Well, that's what it says in the Greek. And so,
I'm certainly a Federalist, and I follow you.
Okay, so it's federal headship, right? Good. So right. What's happening here is that the translators realize that this supports, sentence B would then support universalism. And so they change the verb of A, and then they also do it in B, because they let B interpret A instead of A interpret B. The problem is that by doing that, you won't learn the theology that the Bible's hiding. And the short thing is that God uses words differently than we do. So there are two groups called the all represented by everybody, by Adam, and the all represented by Jesus. They're different groups. And the proof of this is when we find in scriptures, for example, it says that we have died with Christ, you know, and we, Colossians 2:20, and also Colossians 3, you know, we've died and our life is hidden with Christ, and Romans 6:6 says we're crucified with Christ. Romans 6:8, we died with Christ. There's no place that says the unbelievers have died with Christ. The unbelievers are, you know, dead to sin. It's a phrase that's in reference to the believers and therefore the elect. And this is why it's important, because in 2 Corinthians 5:14 it says the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And when you understand that the all there, the second all, can only be the restricted group. That's because it can't be every individual who ever lived. All did not die in Christ. If they died in Christ, they died to the law. They died to sin. It makes no sense. So then that you see, even in there, that the word all, he died for all, therefore all died. The all that he died for is that second group. And I discovered this by looking at the scriptures, and the reason I did is because of Romans 5:18, and the reason I did was because of the NASB. And I wouldn't have seen it if I had gone to another version. You see?
Yeah, well, I'm certainly reformed myself.
Good.
Yeah, so you're an OPC graduate, correct, at Westminster?
No. No, not OPC. A PCA. I was pastor.
Yes.
But Westminster. Okay. Yeah, Westminster I went to in Escondido. And graduated my MDiv in 1991.
Right, way great. Back there. Let's go over one other thing with the Nephilim that you mentioned about today. I just walked in the room when you were speaking about that. And I've always been on the fence on this issue. So, and I was a little surprised because I think most Reformed people do not agree that that these demonic beings infused people and had sex with women. I think that's the case. I could be wrong, but why don't you go ahead and explain that one more time to me?
No, I get you. Most of them don't agree. You're saying, I don't know if that's the case or not, but a lot of people don't agree that it was the offspring of the fallen angels. But the Jews always taught that, and the Christian church always taught.
Yeah, I do know that.
And I teach it. And the reason is because of Genesis. There's two reasons. Genesis 6:9, where it says that Noah was perfect in all his generations. His generations. That means his ancestry was clean. That's a hint. And I'll show you something else, too, when we get back to the break. We have music going. I'll show you another verse that hints at this as well. Okay? So hold on.
Okay.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back. Three open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Sorry, I just read something right. And I got to tell you what it was. Right when I was going to, sorry. So during the break, I just typed in randomly. I said, boy, I love coffee with whipped cream blended in and chocolate creamer added in. Yum. And someone, I read it right at the last second. One guy wrote, black coffee with tons of sugar will keep your eyes from blinking. Just cracked me up. So it just made me laugh. Sorry, I couldn't help it. It was bad timing. It was bad timing. Right there. Get on the show. And I'm cracking up. You know, I like to laugh. I have a good sense of humor. That was funny. In the chat room, sometimes the people will insult me. These great insults. They're hilarious. So there's some pretty good people doing that. So who was it who said that? Dots said that. But Cigar, he's been doing pretty well, too, with some good insults. We have a lot of fun in there. All right, let's see if I can get serious and get back on with Chris from Ohio. Okay, Chris. Sorry about that, man. Okay, calm you off guard with that great statement. Okay, so where were we? I completely forgot.
You messed up. We were in the Nephilim and
yes.
Engaging intercourse with women. And so, I mean, let's get down to what my root question is. So you, so these demonic, these fallen angels, did they infuse already existing human beings and then took over them and then had sex with the women? What's the problem?
Had relations. Let's say relations, because there might be children listening. So the how it was understood is that the fallen angels saw the daughters of men and had offspring with them. And people say, well, that can't happen. And I say, show me the Bible where there's a negation of it, because the implication is that it's exactly what happened. And since the Jews taught it, the early church taught it, up until the 1500s, when it was attacked and mocked, and then they responded with a Sethite theory that is reference to the Seth but line, but doesn't make any sense. Out of that, the flood came to destroy that that attempt by the devil to destroy the messianic line. Because if you think about it, this is a really important point. A lot of people don't understand is that the dominion mandate requires male-female relations and offspring. Mm-hmm. That it is absolutely necessary. And in that also is the redemptive work, that Christ will be born. So the enemy knows this, and it makes perfect sense that he would send his angels to try and thwart the descendancy, so the Messiah wouldn't be born and the dominion mandate could not be carried out. It makes perfect sense. And so the flood came to destroy them all, wipe them out. One of the theories, just a theory, is that demons, some people think that maybe the demons are those disembodied offspring, because they want to inhabit bodies. Apparently in the Bible, demons want to inhabit something, where fallen angels doesn't say they do. It's just a theory. But it's kind of nice, you know. It makes sense. Now here's something.
What
else,
do you mean? How are you differentiating between demons and fallen angels?
They seem to be different. There's principalities, princes, powers. There's demons. There's different categories of angelic realms. People don't know that. And there's a website you can go to where I've written on this. So that's just part of what it is. There's different levels, different types of demonic forces.
I see what you're saying. I do agree with that.
Okay.
I do agree
like,
with
like
that.
Like an angel.
Some have much more.
Right. There's cherubim, right? There's and seraphim, right? And there's archangels. So we could conclude that some of those, we don't know if it did or didn't, some of those could have fallen. What was Satan? Was he an archangel? Was he a cherubim? It looks like he might have been. So, anyway, a lot of people don't know there's a hierarchical structure within the demonic realm as well. In fact, I picked up my first novel, and I'm rewriting it or just polishing it up, and I'm reviewing where Proptome is a principality, and he has dominion over lower demonic forces. And stuff, and it's just all biblical. But anyway, so here's something else that's interesting, okay? Here's something really interesting. And I was turned on to this by Chuck Missler, and I like Chuck Missler. He went to be the Lord a few years ago.
I know Chuck.
Yeah, I used to go to his Bible study in Southern California all the time, along with Walter Martin. What a privilege it was. So, in Daniel 2, it talks about the statue, you know, and the dream, and the Medo-Persian Empire, Rome, etc., the feet in the clay. Well, this is what it says in Daniel 2:43, and in that you saw the iron mixed with the common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men. The implication that he said was in the Hebrew that the they is not people. That's the implication. And the reason that's significant is because in the statue, it's a representation of a history and of a future for them, and that the feet of clay and iron is supposedly, I've heard interpreters say, the last kingdom when Europe comes back and the Antichrist is there. If that's the case, when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So he's prophesying that it'll be like that again. Does that mean then that we have Nephilim today? Well, I would say absolutely yes. Just look at Nancy Pelosi. Just look at Schumer. Just look at Biden. And you go, yeah, they're obviously Nephilim. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, yeah, I've heard these theories for years. I kind of have distanced myself somewhat from it, being in the Reformed community, but I think you make a strong argument for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm never one to follow the crowd, and if majority of people don't agree with me, okay.
Well, yeah, Matt, that's obvious, Matt, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go, buddy. There's just one of the theories, and it's fun. I don't know if it's true or not, but there you go. You know. All right.
Well, one last thing. You enjoy humor so much, it just made me think of the book by Elton Trueblood, The Humor of Christ. If you have not read that, you should. It's very small. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. And
Elton
by the way,
Trueblood,
I'll just give
The Humor of Christ.
Yeah, I'll maybe check it out. We'll see. I've also written a humor book called How to Woo and Win Women by Being the Obnoxious Jerk. It's on Amazon. And I tell people, and it's really there. I tell people, no research necessary. I'm an expert. So, there's a lot of good stuff
great
in there.
Speaking with you. Great speaking with you, Matt. So where's the information about this trip to Turkey?
You go bridgepaultour.com.
Bridgepaultour.com.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's about $7,000, though. But I'm telling you,
sure.
it is worth it. The bus rides, people...
So this is inclusive.
Yes, it's all inclusive, except it'll probably be the same way. You have to buy your own lunch. And so breakfast is at the hotel.
Well,
dinner is at the hotel.
That's a deal breaker. It's over now.
Okay. All right. I get it.
No, that sounds fantastic. I mean, I'd rather go there than Israel myself, but that's just me.
Well, it's great. So it says 6 days in Turkey, 6 days in Greece, 4 days in Italy, and 3 days of travel. And Eric told me one of the days you're on a ferry going between islands or something like that. And you kind of get a break.
Wow.
It's really nice. Yeah, I like that.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Okay. Matt, keep up the good work.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Chris from Ohio. Let's get to Glenn from North Carolina. Glenn, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm fine. Just hanging in there.
I'm sorry, I called a couple weeks ago about the two groups, the Fifth Seal Open, and Revelation 6:9 and Revelation 7:9. The first group are given white robes. Mm-hmm. The second group appear before the throne in white robes, or before the throne in white robes. Not given white robes. Mm-hmm. And I found something interesting. It says they have palms in their hands. So I was asking some pastors, people, what is that? And they all was like, well, that means palm branches. Well, if it meant palm branches, why wouldn't it say they have palm branches in their hands? It says they have palms in their hands. And I did a biblical study on palms in your hands, and it boils down to one of two things: if you're doing a righteous work with your hands or unrighteous work.
Remember
I brought up flesh and blood came here at the kingdom of heaven, and how Paul teaches we're baptized into his death, raised and seated.
Hold on. You're just kind of blending a bunch of stuff together, and you're taking off here. So let's get back to the issue of the palms, the palm branches, whatever it is.
Don't say palm branches.
Okay. What's your point about it, though? I'm just curious.
I asked 2 weeks ago, it seems like that how Paul says we're in two places at once. We're here on this earth, in the flesh, and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, in Christ. Scripture teaches flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven.
That's
but
right.
It says flesh here.
But wait a second, wait a second, wait a second, wait. Stop. Okay. You're saying a lot of stuff. You're not getting to respond to these things that you're saying. You're just going. You got to hold on. Okay. So, first of all, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is an idiomatic expression for the sinful part, the sinful nature. Jesus says, touch me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. There's a difference. And so, that's just an idiomatic expression. It doesn't mean we can't be in physical bodies in heaven. That's not what's going on there. That's one point you have to understand. Okay? And the word palms, which is actually the Greek word phoenix, okay? And it just means the palm grows to be a straight tree. It's a palm of a palm branch, a palm tree. It's a palm. It's just used that way. And a palm was rare in the higher regions, and thus it was noted that the prophetess Deborah dwelt under a palm tree. So it's just a palm is, you know, it just it's.
I understand that, but when I looked up palms in their hands, all it boils down to is what you're doing with your hands. Is it righteous or unrighteous? Kind of like the tongue.
Wait a second. It says palms were in their hands, but it also means. Let me put it this way: I wouldn't jump there. That it means their works. I wouldn't jump into that. I wouldn't do that. You have to find some place in Scripture where that's what it means, and then take it and see if it applies here. Okay, you got to be careful.
I know it don't have nothing to do with righteous works. I'm just trying to understand this and discern it from what Paul teaches about, you know, baptizing to his death. We died with him, like you was representing all believers.
You're talking about baptism into his death, or you're talking about dying his death, and now you're talking about palms. So I don't understand why you're jumping around. I don't quite get it. But we're out of time, so you get the call back tomorrow, okay? Sorry about that. We're out of time, buddy. Call back tomorrow. We'll figure it out. Hey, Manuel from Wisconsin, sorry. I really would like to talk about the spiritual gifts, and that's what you're holding on there for 3 minutes. We're running out of time. May the Lord bless you. And folks, a Bible study tonight. Check it out, okay? God bless everyone. We'll see you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.